You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
All right, welcome to a new episode of Building Unicorns. And this is going to be our first rapid fire podcast on building unicorns. And our first guest for this rapid fire podcast is Gaurav Munjal, co-founder and CEO of Unacademy. Gaurav, thank you so much for joining us on Building Unicorns. You know, I want to start with something we had discussed when we first spoke in 2019. Because today, when we ask a lot of companies who are becoming unicorns, they just say that it's just getting a tag. They say that it's just a phase in the journey and they don't really look at it in a very significant way. But I remember that you had specifically told us in the interview that you had done with Young Turks in 2019 that your goal was to become a unicorn in a year, which you did. So is valuation still as important to you? What is your next target? Do you want to become a decacorn now?
See, at that point, more than the valuation, the unicorn tag is sort of your iconic goal. And it motivates the entire team towards a direction. When you say that you want to be a unicorn, what you say is that you want a technology startup. You want to build a technology startup, which will build products and scale them very, very fast. So I don't think it was about valuation. It was about more about what unicorn stands for. That's a high growth, fast-paced startup building technology products. And the next set of goal that we have is the next set of iconic goal that we have is that while we continue scaling our test prep product, we want to build more consumer internet products that impact the lives of our users. And we want to use technology and we want to build products that scale super fast and create a high impact.
Okay, so essentially you're looking at some kind of diversification as well of your products. Will that give you the moat when it comes to competition, Gaurav? Because the competition in the tech space is really intense right now.
I mean, I don't look at things that way because the way the competition is building stuff and the way we are building stuff is very different. So I don't think that this is sort of to build a moat or something like that. This is essentially what our philosophy is, that we want to continue changing the world by building great products. And that's what we are going to do.
So you're looking at changing the world. You're not really looking at competition. But there must be something about the competition that must be giving you sleepless nights. Is there anything when it comes to your competition that keeps you up at night?
Yeah, I mean, my competition is valued at $200 billion. Which is Netflix. I consider that as my competition, that what Netflix has done for entertainment, we want to do for education. And that does give me sleepless nights.
Okay, so Netflix is your competition. But then I have to ask, how are you looking at this mopping up of a lot of edtech startups that Byju's is on a spree of acquisitions? How are you looking at that? Your take on that?
See, essentially, we have a huge respect for what he's doing. And the way he's building the company into a conglomerate is very different from what our strategy is. So good wishes to him.
Okay, short and crisp, Gaurav. You know, now I want to move on from competition to your overall leadership, the whole topic of leadership at Unacademy. If I have to ask you, what is your strength when it comes to being a founder, a CEO, your biggest strength that you think keeps you running?
My strength is that, or not just mine, the strength of all the founders and leaders, the top leaders at Unacademy is, we can clearly break down our problem statement into actionable goals, and then we can set timelines to achieve those goals. We continuously want to reinvent stuff, and we are all first principles thinkers rather than analogy-based thinkers, so we can break down the problem statement into its most basic format and then, you know, reason up from there. So whether it's our brand campaigns or whether it's our traction channels or whether it's our products or whether it's the fact that we will be building products apart from just like in other markets than education, it comes from that clarity and thinking that the team has. And the other skill is that speed. We really, really are all restless people. We really want to achieve stuff fast. And we believe that quality and speed are not the opposite ends of the spectrum. We believe that you can build quality products, but speed is really important.
Okay, so speed and restlessness are your strengths. But Gaurav, what is the worst criticism you have received about your leadership style? Be it from employees, be it from your co-founders, VCs, anyone?
Yeah, I mean, what my strength is also sometimes my weakness, because my mentor, Shailendra, always keeps telling me that if you have a superpower, you have to control that superpower, because every superpower has its pros and cons. So I think the biggest criticism that I've received is also very related to the strength, is that I'm fairly impatient, and sometimes I don't listen because of my impatience, which is something I'm working on.
Okay, so your restlessness or impatience is both your strength and your weakness.
Yeah.
Who is one leader or an entrepreneur who you really admire, you look up to, and why?
I mean, there are a lot of people in a lot of different segments, but there are three actually, from a global context, and then I'll give you from Indian context. Jack Dorsey, Elon Musk, and Sam Altman from a global context, because I do believe that they are trying to build crazy products that push the human race forward. Very, very, very good technology founders. And from an Indian context, I really like Bhavin and Dipinder.
Okay, your investors as well.
That's the reason they are my investors, because I like them. So I chased them for months to get some time from them.
And you then, chased them and you got them to invest. Interesting.
Yeah, this is back in the day. This is back in 2017, 2018. Yeah. So I remember Bhavin gave me a half an hour meeting after 6 months of chasing. And I think Dipinder gave me a 15-minute meeting after I chased him for, like, I don't know, 1 year.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I have a mail from Dipinder where, and Dipinder is very focused, and that's what I love about him, where he asked me to focus on my work instead of chasing him. But I'm so happy I continued chasing him and I didn't stop, because I get some really valuable advice from both of them.
Anything that you can share on the advice that you get that has really changed the way you think, changed the way you're building your product?
I do remember one thing. I do remember that Dipinder had invited me for a 15-minute meeting at the Zomato office. I think this is 2016. It was an 8 a.m. meeting, and I have never woken in my life at 8 a.m. except my school life, because I sleep at 4 or 5 a.m. So I woke up at 7 a.m. for that meeting and then traveled all the way to Gurgaon, and he met me for 15 minutes. But he gave me one of the biggest lessons at the start of an academy, which was that make sure you grow 1% every day. And I think growth was already our DNA, but when you hear that from somebody who has achieved so much, I think that reinforces that belief. And I know when I went back to office, the importance of growth became even more. I think that was pretty life-changing.
So grow 1% every day. But Gaurav, you know, these days we are just seeing so much philosophy coming from founders and entrepreneurs on Twitter, on LinkedIn. What are your thoughts on that? Does it actually help other entrepreneurs who are looking to build startups, etc.? Or what do you make of that right now?
See, I remember back in 2013, where I had gone to take feedback from someone, and that person told me that Flatchat will never be successful. And then my first co-founder from Flatchat, Akrit, I told him this, and he said that, you know, you should listen to everyone, but then you should apply your own brain and do what you think is right. So I think we are at an information overload. I think that's a good thing, because we can read about a lot of things. We can learn about a lot of things. We can see videos of a lot of things. But we must be extremely careful about what advice to pick from whom. For example, let's say a celebrity entrepreneur has 10 characteristics. 8 are really good, but 2 are not so good. What people sometimes do is they pick on those 2 things. They try and emulate those 2 things. You need to be really, really, really good at what advice or what emulation to reject. Because if you are not good at that, and if you start copying the bad stuff of the top entrepreneurs or of the people who give you advice, I think you'll be in a lot of trouble.
Okay, so that is good advice, to apply your own brain and figure out what exactly works for you and what doesn't. Coming back to an academy, coming back to the whole leadership topic, Gaurav, what is it that you look for when you're, or the one question you ask when you're hiring a potential team member?
See, I look for relentlessness because, you know, whatever our iconic goals are, they're extremely ambitious and extremely difficult. So if somebody will not go all in from both smart work, long work and hard work perspective, I don't think they should join an academy. So when I interview, usually the people who reach my level of interviews are the ones who are really, really good at skills, because other people in the org have already tested them for whatever role they are interviewing for. I check for relentlessness, relentlessness and grit, that when times are really tough, when there is a very difficult problem and we have a timeline, is this the person who is going to deliver, or is this the person who is going to break down, or is this the person who is going to give up? Because when everything is great, when growth is happening, when systems are solid, when everything is great, those are not the testing times. Testing times are when you encounter a problem. Growth is not happening for 4 months. Your customer acquisition costs are going higher. Your gross margins are going lower. So these are the tough problems that the leader, and especially how do they do these problem solving, and what level of owner are they, is what I look for.
Okay, absolutely. And what has been your success rate then, if you would want to put a number to it?
I mean, earlier it was bad because the frameworks were built. I mean, this is not the second time I've built a unicorn. This is the first time I've built a unicorn. So a lot of frameworks I made, I learned on the job. So earlier the hit rate was bad, but I think with time it's improving. And one thing also I've learned, which I've started applying, is we are extremely candid about how the culture is going to be. We are extremely candid about what the expectations are going to be. And I think that's something that people like. So these days, we get to know whether somebody is a fit or not fairly quickly. Obviously, we are wrong a lot of times.
But how are you looking at the whole talent war? Is that concerning you, Gaurav? Are you ready to also roll out BMWs, etc., as everyone is fighting for the best talent out there?
No, I mean, we built Relevel. So we want to actually help people hire talent, which is our product called Relevel, which is a very interesting product, because what we are essentially saying is, whether or not you went to a good college, actually, it doesn't even matter whether you went to a college. You give a Relevel test, which is essentially free, and you can be in any part of the country. This test is like an interview process for a top company. And if you get selected in the test, we will get you a job in 15 days. So, I mean, we are actually trying to support through the product Relevel. And we hope that a lot of people from across the country who otherwise would not have gotten exposure to give interviews in top companies, take this test, and we can help them get great jobs. Because I believe that the top jobs should not be restricted for, should not be only for the students who went to top colleges. And I'm the greatest example for that. Like I didn't go to an IIT or NIT, etc. But DirectAI had a platform called CodeChef, which was a skill-based platform, which is now a part of an academy group. So CodeChef, I used to code on CodeChef, and that got me a rating. And a lot of companies used to recognize that rating. So it didn't matter what college I came from. So I do believe that Relevel is going to help people not just hire talent, but actually hire talent from remotest corners of the country, which is great for that talent and which is great for the companies.
So how much of your own hiring are you doing now from Relevel?
I have told the team that for the first 6 months, we are not going to hire from Relevel. I'll tell you why. If we hire from Relevel, then their targets will be met. And I don't want them to...
You are a taskmaster.
I mean, interesting. People have used that word for me, but I'm not sure if I am. But maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I don't know.
Okay, so for 6 months, you're not hiring from B-level?
Yeah, I mean, I have essentially told them that why don't you first hit your targets without the support of an academy or any other company of an academy. And once you have that model, once we know that, you know, let's say hundreds of companies are hiring from B-level, then an academy can obviously hire from B-level. But yeah, times are absolutely, absolutely crazy. I mean, we gave an offer to someone whose salary was around 50 lakhs. We gave a 80 lakh offer. The guy got a 1.4 crore offer and rejected our offer. It's absolutely crazy.
That is what I was talking about. I mean, that must be some concern there. But like you said, you're also targeting not just the best colleges and you know, students from there. You're also looking at...
No, I believe we have good people in our team. I think our talent guy, Mahesh, is really, really good. Himesh has built a great team. So I do believe we have good processes. But obviously, I mean, see, I actually think it's a good thing. I think these talent war is a good thing because finally, like, engineers are being paid, product managers are being paid what they deserve. They deserve this. I mean, they are helping. If they are helping people build billion-dollar organizations, they deserve great compensation in the form of cash and stock.
Absolutely. All right, Gaurav. So let's move the conversation towards capital and towards fundraising. And you have raised more than $800 million through your journey so far. Has there been any time where you've said no to capital that you didn't need? Or would you say no to capital that you don't need?
No, I think I'll raise because I'll tell you why. I have been a fan since the start of the... See, it depends on what you're building. If you're building a SaaS company or if you're building a bootstrapped company where you have cash flows from day one, that's a different thing. But from day one, we have been building products and companies that do require us to burn money in the beginning because we build distribution-first companies, traction-first companies. So to build that distribution or traction, you need funds. And I think raising a lot of capital gives you a lot of peace of mind, or actually not a lot of capital. I believe raising capital gives you a peace of mind because you can experiment a lot. See, when you're trying to invent something new, like if you're trying to copy a product that's been done in US or China, or even in India, if you're trying to 10% improve an existing product, then essentially you will know how much funds you need or probably you need money for marketing. But when you're trying to do something new, you essentially need funds to experiment because whatever happens, companies should always play in the front foot. They should always keep experimenting. And experiments are not just about your product. Experiments are with your product. Experiments are with your team. Experiments are with your brand. Experiments are, like, for example, a very senior guy from my CEO's office is a fresher who graduated 6 months back because we amazing talent. In brand, what we have done with different films that we have made, whether it's the Believer movie, whether it's the Sachin movie, I think we have done some crazy experiments and those have worked. Similarly, you do experiments in product. You know, I wouldn't call Graphene Relevel an experiment. I would call them successful experiments because for each Graphene Relevel, we have tried 10 things that didn't work. But if we don't try, we'll not be able to invent anything new.
And so capital gives you that runway to the capital, peace of mind that you said it gives you.
Yeah.
Coming to you know, the products you're building, and you've made 10 acquisitions so far. Tell us an acquisition that has really worked wonders for you at Unacademy and one that really didn't hit the mark.
See, both PrepLadder and Wi-Fi Study did really well for us. And with PrepLadder, Dipanshu is one of the best founders in the country for content. And I think now he's handling the entire academics for Unacademy. And I think, you know, that helped us a lot because we took their approach to content and applied it to other categories in Unacademy. Similarly, with Wi-Fi Study, Dinesh had cracked YouTube. So sometimes when we acquire companies, it's for strengths rather than revenue. And both of these guys helped us scale what they knew, let's say YouTube to multi-channel strategy or to content to multi-category strategy. And I mean, I wouldn't say that any particular acquisition didn't work per se. I mean, these were the ones which stood out for me.
The more successful ones.
Yeah.
Right. And lastly, you know, let's come to Gaurav Munjal as an investor, not as an entrepreneur, because you yourself have made several angel investments. Quickly, if you can tell us, what do you look for when you make an investment? Are you looking for a founder who has a similar style as yours in terms of leadership, etc.? Or what exactly do you look for?
I don't meet founders before I invest in them. It's usually over a WhatsApp chat. I look at their deck. I look at the market. I look at what they are building. And usually these are references. So I look at the person who referred that startup to me. See, usually my strategy is that I do investments not to make money, but to learn. Making money will be a secondary benefit. But I end up learning a lot from these startups, whether it's Plum, whether it's Kotum, whether it's InVideo. You know, the energy that these folks have, and, you know, somebody must have cracked marketing really well. Somebody must have cracked product really well. I end up learning from them and I share my learnings with them. I think it's a way of me giving back to the ecosystem and also learning from the ecosystem. I rarely meet the founder before I invest.
In fact, when
they ask for a meeting after I have invested, I give them a target.
Okay, that's an interesting approach. And you talked about references, and I do want to ask you, who are some of the other angels you really like to go into a round with, who you're comfortable investing with?
I mean, my co-founders Roman and Himesh, and in fact, the leadership team of an academy has also started investing now, Karan and Vivek, etc. And then Dinesh of Wi-Fi Study now, he's with Tread. And then Sujit and Kalyan, Sujit from Udaan, Kalyan from Flipkart, Akrit Vesh of Haptic. These are some of the few people I invest in.
Okay. And one last question, Gaurav, and this has to be about IPOs, because that is like it's raining DRHPs. Any IPO FOMO right now for you at Unacademy? Will you join? Are you looking to join the pipeline anytime soon, or are you going to take your time and look to
the product? We are going to take our time, and I don't think we are doing an IPO anytime soon.
No feeling of fear of being left out.
No, I don't. I mean,
because the markets are also that.
Try and avoid acting from a place of FOMO. I build my own conviction. And if I'm acting from a place of FOMO, then what I'll do is instead of reacting to it, I'll go and study the markets. I'll talk to 20 founders, 30 founders. I'll read a lot of stuff. And then I'll take a decision of my own. I mean, boils down to the first or the second question that you asked about advice. That you hear,
absolutely,
get all the data points, but take your own decision. Have your own conviction.
Okay, so Gaurav, you recently were also part of the letter that was sent to the PMO, which asked for a direct overseas listing. Is that something on your mind?
I mean, no, it's not like, it's nothing like that, but we do would like to have the optionality. See, I mean, a lot of countries in the world have the optionality to either list in the country or list overseas. We don't have the optionality, and I think that optionality will be very, very good for Indian startups and startup founders. So, I mean, essentially hoping for a positive response from the government.
Okay, let's see how that goes, Gaurav. But thank you so much for joining us. It was really fun talking to you.
Thanks a lot for having me. Thanks,
Gaurav.